Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.
I believe united we stand, and we have common ground to find, and we're going to find it.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind for the week that Democratic Governor Tony Evers gave the legislature his budget, but first, wish I was there. Watch closely. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss shakes his head no as Governor Evers proposes driver's license for undocumented and decriminalizing possession of up to 25 grams of marijuana. Senator Darling says Evers' budget spends too much, $4,000 more for a family of four. A Dane County judge says juvenile prison inmates are getting their hair cut by a dog groomer. The new superintendent of the state patrol talks about the need for diversity when the patrol tries to fill one in ten, vacant positions. And two Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty officials argue for more help for private and charter schools instead of the $1.4 billion Governor Evers wants to give K-12 public schools. Wish I was there.
We're announcing tonight that undocumented folks will be eligible to receive driver license and ID cards. This makes our roads and our communities safer and helps strengthen our economy and Wisconsin families. We also need to come to terms with the fact that nonviolent drug arrests are contributing to overcrowding and economic inequity, instability, and insecurity in our state. That's why I announced a few weeks ago that our budget will decriminalize marijuana possession for 25 grams or less. Finally, we're going to make sure that regardless of whether a kid is born in this country, if they went to a Wisconsin high school and have lived here for 3 years, they shouldn't have to pay more tuition like out-of-state students. They should be treated like any other kid from Wisconsin.
Every man, woman, and child, a family of four, is going to be charged up to $4,000 for that family, $1,000 a person increase in spending. That's unacceptable for Wisconsin's hardworking family.
When I first did my first visit up to Lincoln Hills, one of the first things I noticed when I went there was all of our African-American children were looking crazy. You know, the hair was all over the place, and they were looking wild. And I went to one of the boys, and I was like, yo, dog, why are you looking like this? Why is your hair like this? You don't have no line. You have no... He said, man, we found out that the barber was a dog groomer. Mm-hmm. Black boys need lines. We don't do curves. We do straight lines across our head. And I just happened to have just gotten a fresh haircut so I could give her an example of what that looked like.
We're looking to take the agency forward in terms of diversity. Currently right now, you figure there's 91% of the state patrol is made up of men, 8% are women, 92 and 8, if you will. And then of that, 89% are white males. So we've got some work to do.
We are solely focused when it comes to education on, does this policy improve student outcomes? The report that you referenced, really the impetus for it, is we looked at urban schools and rural schools, and we found out that our schools are substandard. They're giving low-income children, minority children, a very bad education.
When we look at what the state does for small businesses around the state of Wisconsin, the state puts policies in place that says, how can we help you be successful? We think that same idea should be applied to our private and charter schools. Our parental choice program serves just under 40,000 kids around the state, and they're doing really well. And so we should be saying to those schools, what barriers are in place for helping you expand, and what can the state do to make it easier?
The more we want things to remain the same, the more we have to change. Wisconsin is projected to have between 7 and 15% fewer students in higher ed in 10 more years. You get on Wisconsin Avenue today and you see Purdue Global, Purdue University Global, right here, as well as the online capabilities. A lot of places are looking for those population centers. A lot of higher ed institutions are finding competition is growing dramatically.
A grower growing something, a CBD variety, that CBD concentration rises throughout the growing season. Right along with that, oftentimes, depending on the variety, that THC level rises as well. And now it's no longer industrial hemp, but it's an illegal crop that has to be destroyed. So that's, again, a risk with this crop that most growers aren't used to.
KJR, before we get to individual programs proposed by the governor, let's take a 10,000-foot look. $83 billion, 10% spending increase, dead on arrival in the Republican ledge.
Yeah, but it's also a reflection of where Evers is at intellectually. It's a blueprint of how to the way he wants to reshape government after 8 years of Republican rule.
Yeah.
And it's a thank you letter to his supporters.
Okay, now we have to, because this was the first Democratic governor's budget in 10 years. Mm-hmm. Let's work through the different programs. Let's talk with transportation. Perhaps the biggest news yesterday, although there was a lot of news yesterday, mm-hmm. transportation budget. 8 cents per gallon increase in the 30.9-cent gas tax, which was last increased in 2006. But if you eliminate minimum markup, the governor and his aides say that will erase, more than erase, that 8-cent upper. But, J.R., I want to ask you about this. Minimum markup was part of the Assembly Republican plan that went nowhere last session.
No, and I also have talked to people already wondering, what will the Fiscal Bureau, how will they score out that repeal of minimum markup? So I'm not sure if it is. I mean, I'm not an expert on this stuff. I don't know if 14 cents is the right number, but it's interesting that Evers kind of, we knew he's going to have a gas tax hike increase.
Yeah.
It's been clear for weeks. But he paired it with the repeal of minimum markup to see where that might put Republicans. What's interesting about that issue is it cuts across party lines. You have plenty of Republican lawmakers who want to get rid of minimum markup on not just gas, but prescription drugs,
yep,
and everything. You also have Democrats, Republicans who want to preserve it, as well as Democrats. I mean, like Jennifer Schilling, the majority leader or minority leader starting in the Senate. She's from La Crosse. Guess who's in her backyard? Quick Trip. They're not a fan of repealing minimum markup. And a couple of reporters tried to catch Schilling this morning to ask her, well, how do you feel about this? And she basically kind of pushed the question aside because it puts her in a tough spot. And I don't know that coupling the gas tax hike with the repeal of minimum markup is enough of a game changer to change the dynamic in the Republican caucuses about a tax hike period.
Okay, well, let's just quickly summarize the math. Right now, our gas tax, 30.9 cents. The governor's budget would take it to 38.9. The governor argues that repealing minimum markup would subtract 14. So he says, you're going to be paying less. You're going to be paying 24.8 cents. He also wants to go back to indexing, mm-hmm. which we stopped in 2006. Big increase on heavy trucks, a 27% increase, raising $36 million. Schneider National may not like that.
Oh, no. There's also collecting a hybrid fee.
Yes.
There's other title transfers.
Right. And right now, an original title costs $69.50. It would go to $79.50, raising over the biennium $36 million. Go ahead.
And then you take away, right now, there is a transfer from the general fund, which is our income sales, corporate taxes, sin taxes, to go to the transportation fund, which Walker Republicans pushed forward to try and offset what they said were the raids,
yes,
of Jim Doyle over the years. Don't forget Jim Doyle backfilled those raids with a lot of borrowing to try and keep the fund whole. But anyway, they'd end that. The net is about $520 million of the biennium for transportation. He would then turn around.
That's new money. That's the upper.
He would take bonding down to like 200 or 300 some million dollars for overall transportation bonding, which would be the lowest level since at least 2000, I think they said.
Yeah.
It also puts on trajectory to take our debt service. That's basically how much of your revenue is going just to pay off debt.
19.6%.
It put on a path down to 10 cents by 2031, I think it is.
Okay.
So different. The trajectory has been going this way, take us down this way.
Okay.
And overall, they're trying to say that this is a fix, an honest fix, not kicking the can on the road anymore, not going to borrow more, we're going to fix it now. However, you have to get Republicans to buy in. I don't know they're there right now.
Right, I agree. And let's end this segment with the governor and then the response. The governor talking about this transportation funding program and then Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald saying, not so fast, Governor, please.
I'm proposing the largest biennial investment in transportation in Wisconsin state history. We're all going to have to share the burden so that it's feasible for everyone, and to make sure that we're not passing the buck on to the next generation. We're going to be increasing fees for titles and heavy trucks, and we do have to raise the gas tax. But as I promised all along, we're sure as heck not going to raise the gas tax by a dollar. We're going to raise it 8 cents a gallon, well below what they did over the river, raising it by 20 cents in Minnesota and 18 cents in Ohio. But the good news is we're also going to repeal a hidden tax that costs you 14 cents a gallon on gas. That means our plan actually makes it possible for you to pay less at the pump than you do right now.
Little bit of shell game there. Governor is willing to raise taxes 8 cents, and then he tried to convince everybody in the state that suddenly repealing minimum markup was somehow going to put more money in their pocket. The idea that he linked the two together, I think, is a little bit disingenuous.
Okay, JR, before we get to the tax code changes, wrap up the highway funding quickly.
Evers administration says it'd be the gas tax hike, not taking account of minimum markup repeal, would be $3 a month for the average motorist. Don't forget, though, last Marquette poll did not find much support for a gas tax increase, so there's a question there. And a piece I've heard from several people since last night was that, you know, Governor Evers rolled out all these budget proposals last week and a half, 2 weeks. And in doing so, he kind of highlighted things he wanted to. With this gas tax proposal, by putting it out last night in the budget, I've heard from people, it didn't give as much oxygen to the yin and yang of a hike but an offset. If you had that out there a week ago and let people write about just that one piece, you'd got more focus on the effort to blunt the impact of the increase. But in a budget that would repeal right to work, mm-hmm. would reinstitute prevailing wage, all these other things, there's less room to get, as a reporter, get into it. So maybe that's something they could have done differently. But I've heard that kind of criticism last night.
Okay, now let's go to the tax code changes. First we heard of it yesterday, he would like to the creation of a first-time home buyer savings account of up to $5,000 that would start in tax year 2020. That was news to us.
Mm-hmm.
He then talked about the middle income tax cut. Remember, he just vetoed the Republican middle income tax cut that would cut taxes by $833 million over the next 2 years. And he put a price tag on limiting the manufacturer's tax credit of $517. What you and I didn't know until yesterday was they're proposing limiting the capital gains mm-hmm. Tax break, raising an additional $505 million. So when you limit the manufacturers, that's $517. When you limit the capital gains tax break, that's $505 million. There's a billion in tax increases. That's what the Republicans are saying.
Don't forget they're also looking to increase collections. There are all kinds of other. There's even like a tax proposed on medical marijuana, which doesn't exist right now. Conforming our state tax laws to the federal tax package generates more revenue.
Yeah.
I think it's around $1.6 billion in tax increases, offset by $900 some million in tax cuts.
Right, including when you expand the homestead tax credit, making it eligible for those with incomes of $30,000. That would provide an additional $38.9 million more. And tax breaks.
A theme in all these tax proposals for Evers is he's not doing away with tax cuts. He's capping them. And there's like a magic number for him. If you are a single filer with an adjusted gross income, $100,000 or less, you're pretty much okay. Married joint filers, $150 or less, again,
yes.
You're good. So you qualify for his income, middle income tax cut. You also have to worry about your exclusions for capital gains and these other things. Also with the manufacturing tax credit, that number is $300,000. So it seems like they're trying to say this is not making a fairer, in their words, tax code.
Yes, he's saying that past policies have been too generous to mm-hmm. the wealthiest among us, and so we do need fairness.
And the Republicans counter, you can't, these taxes would hit a lot of job producers.
Job creators.
And let's be honest, I mean, the public, you look at the polls, they agree tax the rich because they're not rich. So it doesn't impact them, but Republicans are arguing, look, you're missing the forest for the trees of what the impact might be on the business climate in Wisconsin if you do these things.
Okay, now we've talked about health care before, but let's listen to what the governor said about his changes. Largely, the biggest single item, expanding Medicaid with the federal money. Let's listen to the governor, please.
Long, we need to expand Medicaid in Wisconsin. 82,000 more Wisconsinites will have access to affordable, quality health care coverage. And because we're accepting these federal dollars, we have the opportunity to invest in programs that improve healthcare access and affordability across our state. It means that we can invest in programs to address infant mortality and to encourage preventative care like cancer and STI screenings. It means we're going to put our money where our mouths are, literally, to ensure Wisconsin isn't among the worst states in dental care in the country. And it means we can expand access to substance abuse and mental health treatment intervention and stabilization, especially in our rural communities, for people who are in crisis.
The governor said expanding Medicaid, which Republicans have said, read our lips, is not going to happen, would extend the Medicaid to 82,000 people and save $320 million, which the governor's budget would then reinvest largely in paying hospitals higher MA rates. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the basic takeaway. He would also repeal the requirements for job training, work, or drug testing for many public aid programs. That's part of that.
Getting that blueprint to repeal the Republican issues the last 8 years.
Right.
It's part of it.
And he would repeal the lame duck session laws, but that's a
almost
different subject.
All of those, yeah.
$50 million more to fight lead poisoning in children. $45 million more over 2 years to improve access to dental care. That's a major initiative. Remember in his speech he went like this. $40 million more over 2 years for mental health treatment.
And he would fully fund, remember Governor Walker had that wraparound program for people who are in the exchanges under the Affordable Care Act.
The reinsurance program.
He would fully fund that to help manage those cost increases.
He would continue that forward even, and that's a price tag, $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. Okay, now let's talk about choice programs. Choice last year, 38,187 students. Milwaukee, 28,000. Racine, 3,200. Statewide, 6,800. He would freeze it, but he would also say teachers in choice schools would have to be licensed by the 22-23 school year, and choice schools would have to be accredited by 21-22 school year. Does his game plan, in essence, lay the groundwork to shut down choice? Because he says, I'm not doing that, I'm freezing it.
Well, he said, I think a week or two ago, he would not seek to phase out the program. The reality is, this isn't going to happen either. It is, though, a good way to look at like this budget overall. The complaint that I've heard from Republicans that Tony Evers did not try to find a middle ground or strike a middle ground in his budget address, which is true. It's a checklist of Democratic priorities. Like with the voucher program, Tony Evers, as state superintendent, was not a fan. If you left it up to him, he would have basically a public education system,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So there's that. But here's the thing. If Evers had proposed just capping the statewide program, would that have made Robin Voss and Scott Schill happier? No.
No.
So where's the compromise that Evers could have struck on something like that? Instead, he basically laid out where he's at intellectually, politically, where his supporters are when it comes to that program. Now, I say it's not going to get done because Republicans won't accept this. They're not going to go there when it comes to capping the voucher program. Don't forget, that program created for Milwaukee in 1990, I think it was, spread to Racine in 2011.
Although it took 5 years to get to church schools.
2011, they went to Racine. 2013, statewide. They're not going to say, okay, we expanded this for 8 years. Now we're also going to just pull back and do this.
Okay, but I'm going to walk out on you here because right now choice costs a total of $191 million, both in state aid and lost property taxes. Under the budget that DBI had to present and give to the Republicans, it would have gone to $238. Here's my point. If the Republicans approve $238 by the end of the biennium for school choice, he has the ability, because it's an existing program, to write that down.
That is one of the fascinating things to watch going forward. As far as I can tell, I asked Reference Bureau today, going back to 1931, there has been no complete veto of a budget, all right?
Right.
Most of them, however, get a lot of partial vetoes from the governor.
And the last time a partial veto was ever written, 1985, under Tony Earle.
So my question is, when Republicans send this budget back to Evers, what's it look like, and then what can he do with that partial veto authority, where he can strike out, you know, various bits and rework things? Can he make it to his liking, or does he go the old enchilada and say, okay, we're done, but then what? None of us lived through that. We don't know the dynamic. I mean, I've had people have guesses about how that would work.
That would be the nuclear option, to veto the entire
budget. But then are we talking Republicans are happy because it's current law?
Yeah.
They can live with that. But then what happens in October, Steve, when schools are going, hey, we're not getting any increases in aid? What about when locals say, hey, our roads are still need some more money. What are you guys doing? The pressure mounts. Remember 2007, we had Republicans for the Assembly, Democratic Senate, Democratic Governor. October is when the pressure kind of really got to people and started to change, and they got something done.
Right, and you're talking about school aids. The governor's budget also includes $200 per student for year one, $204, and those are numbers from Governor Walker's last budget, aren't they? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk about minimum wage. Right now we have a minimum wage of $7.25. It's been that way for decades. The governor wants to take it up by a dollar on January 1 of next year, then 75% increments annually after that. Create a task force to study how to get minimum wage to $15 per hour. Got any chance of passing?
No. Again, a marker of where Evers and Democrats are philosophically. It's politically popular. And it's an example of Evers folks in their minds, they a lot of these things that Republicans are complaining about, the public is on the governor's side. So it's a position of strength and of compromise. They're like, well, the public wants this, so we're going to give it to them. But I just don't see Republicans going along with a minimum wage increase because the business community says that will hurt job creation, it'll hurt lower-income people. I mean, those are their arguments that this is going to be a problem, whereas Democrats keep saying when you raise wages, you give people a leg up to help themselves.
Right. Okay, now let's do some wrap-ups on unions and state workers. They would, as you said earlier, the governor's budget would repeal the right to work law. That's something unions want.
Mm-hmm.
And it would restore the prevailing wage law that specifies wage on certain public projects.
Mm-hmm.
JR, you heard me ask a question yesterday of the governor's people. No attempt to restore collective bargaining for public employees lost in Act 10. Why?
Good question. Again, it goes back to that, I think for Evers folks, there are things they could have done that they want to try and show, like, I don't know if restraint's the right word or a more of a middle ground, but that would have been, plus two with Act 10, if you touch that third rail, or one of many in Wisconsin politics, you're reigniting that fight all over again. I mean, I get the impression from Democrats that they just don't want to keep having that fight. It's this weird dynamic where they need people who don't like Act 10 to be energized and engaged and turning out. But to go back and have that fight again, the general public doesn't want to go back to what they saw in 2011 with the protests. So if you keep bringing that up, it reminds them of that, and it's like a fight they just don't want to have again.
So they are throwing in the towel on Act 10. The teachers, other public employees, with the exception of firefighters and law officers?
No, but if they get full control, I mean, here's the thing. But if you get full control of the legislature, different story.
But if he's given them a budget that they say we're going to throw in the garbage anyway, why not include?
Excellent question. Why not put it in? So and people wanted it. Democrat, I mean, there some of their supporters wanted it, but again, it seems like Evers has this approach of kind of not going all the way on certain things and how he put this thing together.
Well, and also 2% pay raise for state workers in January and then the following January.
Yeah, and let's look big picture on this budget, okay? Tony Evers could have done something more moderate. The Republicans aren't going to pass it. Tony Evers is sending a message to his base of, I ran on these things, I promise you these things, and here's my promise delivered. Because of this, if Donald Trump wins re-election in 2020, Tony Evers is a pretty good bet for re-election in 2022. Why? Because we've seen a pattern now for a decade of the party in power in the White House has a very difficult time midterms. I mean, like, that's always been true. But it's gotten even worse in the last decade for that party, right? So if you have a Republican in the White House, Tony Evers is in good shape in 2022. If it's a Democrat, however, it's a much different ballgame. And Evers needs that base to turn out for him in 2022 if there's a Democrat in the White House and there's a headwind. The question becomes then, in that dynamic, which I will not predict anything about next fall
or
3 years from now,
right.
But he needs that base plus a number of swing voters. Scott Walker was great in those off-term elections of riding that headwind and up until 18, of course, in 10 and 14, riding that headwind and bringing just enough of swing voters to get to 52%. Can Evers replicate that, but in reverse, with Trump in the White House, or find a way against that headwind as a Democratic president in 2022?
Before we get to your stock picks, I want to stay on this. Things that were not in the governor's budget that I almost expected. The Attorney General's proposal for a red flag law. Why isn't that in there?
I don't know.
No reference to work on the East-West Freeway. That's not in there. There was a report.
43, though, in Milwaukee and Zaki kinds of go be enumerated to go six lanes rather than four.
Yeah, that's 43 and not the East-West. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the recent report was a report, I think, public radio. The Green Bay prison needs $500 million in repairs, and the budget does nothing for that.
Evers wants that conversation separate from the budget. He said that before. Don't forget, too, he wants to have a conversation about reducing the prison population. How do you have that conversation about reducing the prison population while you're building a new prison? You have to have those maybe together, in his mind, to make it work.
Okay, but things that are in there, he tries to correct the dark store. That's in there, and the redistricting. The mm-hmm. idea that we're going to have legislative staffers submit proposed redistricting, but as you asked yesterday, that's a pretty potentially twisted process.
Well, what they're basing off is Iowa. In Iowa, what happens is this kind of commission draws a map, submits to the legislature.
Legislature goes up or down.
And they make recommendations. We don't like it because of this. They go back, address those recommendations, second map. Goes back to them, they can vote up or down, send it back with more recommendations. That third map, though, can be amended like any other bill. Well, if you're Tony Evers and Republicans have that power, do you think they're going to just wait to that third map and re-record the way they want to anyway?
Right.
Force a veto fight and then go to the court? I mean, so it's more of a place marker of this is a popular thing politically with voters to have this in there, but it's not going to go anywhere because Republicans aren't going to go along with that proposal.
Okay, my last point. If you look on, I think, page 35 of the budget, he spends down the surplus from $616 million to $20 million at the end of the biennium. I thought he vetoed the Republican tax plan saying it wasn't funded by drawing down the surplus. Do I see any contradiction here?
And what Evers is arguing, or what kind of the theme you're seeing, is that Republicans and Walker neglected Wisconsin's needs for 8 years. They focused too much on your property tax bill, on tax cuts and things like that, without funding roads, without funding schools, without funding health care. He's saying this is the way that this is what voters wanted. They embraced his vision in November, and now he's delivering what they wanted.
Okay, and let's go back for just a few seconds to listen to the governor talk about his juvenile justice reforms. I should have gone back to that earlier. Please.
We're going to return kids who are 17 to the juvenile justice system. And I'm investing more than $200 million in additional funds so that we can get kids out of Lincoln Hills and get them closer to home as soon as we safely and responsibly can.
Doc picks, Brent.
All right, so rising. Let's talk pure politics for a second since we're talking all these budget numbers. But party staff changes. The Republican Party of Wisconsin brought back Mark Jefferson this week to be executive director. Jefferson had been in that role from 2007 to 11. So he was there when they didn't have a governor in the East Wing, which means he knows how to fundraise as a party without being in power. Mark Morgan is going to the NRSC to work with Senate Republicans nationally. So there's that
National
going on.
Republican Senate Campaign Committee.
Devin Remiker was identified as the new executive director for political operations by Democrats in December by Martha Lanning, the outgoing chair. He's in place. They're both, by the way, looking for new chairs, the parties. Brad Courtney is going to be leaving before too long from the Republican Party. There's a race going on right now to replace Martha Lanning. Why it's significant? Because it means in 2020, we will have new leadership in both parties, and we're going to be, if not the, one of the swing states in the presidential election.
In the presidential election. Good call. Next.
So, Mike Gallagher, this week, Gallagher and Spencer Brenner were two of 13 Republicans who voted for a Democratic bill to basically undercut the president's national emergency declaration for the southern border, right?
And Spencer Brenner has been in the House since, I think, 1979.
And that's where we're talking about Mike Gallagher. So with Spencer Brenner, he's been around forever. He's got a reputation. He can make the institutional argument of this is about the integrity of government, were the words that he used, and that this is not how it's supposed to work. You can't do this. You have to go through the powers of the person of Congress. Gallagher is a little bit dicier, okay? He's only been there for a term and a couple months. He's still building his reputation. It's not the same level as Spencer Brenner. At the same time, these guys, Gallagher's got a great resources. He's a good campaigner. Democrats don't even really look at that race much anymore because they acknowledge
it's not on their target list.
No. You always got to worry about a primary. But is this something that they would get primaried over? And talking to folks this week, the feedback I got was this is the issue for Trump supporters because it's the wall. But also think, too, of the news cycle. It goes so fast anymore. This will be forgotten in a week, let alone by next fall.
Absolutely. Falling.
So bursts. Excuse me. We are down now. Fewest number of bursts in Wisconsin since 1973, the year of my birth, I believe. So why is that significant? Well, the population is growing as fast. We are, if you combine the birth rate with our overall population growth, we're right now 38th, I think it was, for population growth. Well, what's that? Why is that significant? States with more population growth, according to Pew Trust, which did the overall state-by-state look at population growth, will tell you that more population you have, more bodies you have to fill jobs, more jobs you can fill, the more tax revenue you can generate for your state, and there's this kind of circular motion, right?
Yep.
Fewer bodies, fewer workers, fewer jobs. So that's a difficult thing. And, you know, political piece to this, reapportionment comes up in 2021. I don't see Wisconsin any less of possibly losing a seat in Congress. But if you continue down this path of not having that greatest growth, at some point, Texas, Arizona, California, someplace is going to grab one of our seats, and we're going to lose one.
Right. Okay, real quickly on next week, you're going to see Evers and Lieutenant Governor Barnes on the road continuing to sell the budget.
Oh, it's the every 2 years it's the road show. Yeah. Governor, cabinet, Lieutenant Governor go fan out across state and sell this thing. They're trying to keep pushing that message until Republicans get that budget and just chop it to shreds.
Right. Okay. Lots of news. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for March 1.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.